welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, listen, as I said in the promo to the email list earlier this afternoon, or I guess it was yesterday, I have no idea whatsoever how we're going to work everything into the show tonight. We have got a very, very busy show, but I will begin it with a quick announcement telling you that we are back in our usual home for the Political Cesspool Online Chat and Virtual Fan Party, cfcc.org. cfcc.org. Come on in and join us. I'm going to be taking questions and comments from those assembled in the chat tonight during the three-hour live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, and we're coming to you live tonight. Saturday, April 7th, from downtown Memphis, Tennessee, in the friendly confines of the Political Cesspool Broadcast Studio and AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship station, going out to the AM and FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The show tonight is so busy, in fact, that I had to come in about an hour early this evening to the studio just to kind of collect my thoughts. For the first time in years, as Keith Alexander is my witness, I have kind of plotted out the show segment by segment. I haven't done that since, I think, 2005. But because I really want to work everything in, I've done it tonight. But anyway, Keith, it's been I think it's going to be a great night. Been a great week for me. Very peaceful week. Easter coming up tomorrow. My wife and I and our daughter, we spent the afternoon working in the yard and dyeing Easter eggs. Then I got cleaned up and came on down here to the radio station listening to I've been revisiting my Neil Sedaka CD. And, you know, I gotta call Jared Taylor because, you know, a lot of people are split for his invitation for Jewish folks to be speakers at Ameren. And I say, you know, this is how you fix this. You don't invite them to speak. You invite them to sing. And I think if we can get Neil Sedaka there, we'll have a great, that'll do it. And so, anyway, we'll see how that works. But in addition to that, I was going back and revisiting some of the blogs, entries that I've posted this week. And, of course, we'll be reviewing some of those on the show tonight. And, you know, every now and then you step back and you look at the scope of our work, Keith, and some of the stories that I've posted this week tie in to some of the publicity that we've enjoyed over the years, publicity the likes of which most organizations in this movement will never know. And of course, without the support of Liberty News Radio and the fans, we would never enjoy this amount of success for ourselves. But we did an article about Keith Olbermann being fired, for instance. I think, you know, he gets fired. If I had a dollar for every time Olbermann got fired, I'd never need a fundraise again. But Olbermann was fired again this week. And of course, that made me think of the time when Keith Olbermann listed us as one of the worst persons in the world back when he was on MSNBC. And so we revisited that little incident on the blog. It's Confederate History Month. We'll be talking about that a lot more during the third hour of tonight's broadcast. But and we might talk about it some this first hour as well. But that made me think of the great pro-South film Gods and Generals. And that, of course, made me think of last year when Warner Brothers, the big movie behemoth of all people, reached out to the Political Cesspool and asked for us to serve as a marketing partner with them for the re-release of Gods and Generals. And yeah, well, we did actually work with them on that. That didn't mean we crossed over to the dark side, but it is a good film, so we worked with them, and they milked us for all they were worth, and then they denounced us. But nevertheless, that was a, you know, I'd say, you look back, we turned down a lot more interviews than we accept. The NBC affiliate here in Memphis has been after me for 2 weeks to do an interview with them, and I just haven't done it, haven't gotten around to it. But anyway, Keith, I say all that to say this. Another great show tonight. We bask in the glow of all that we've been able to accomplish, and it continues this evening with another live broadcast, and I'm happy to be here, and happy to be here with you, my friend. Talked about how good my week's gone on Easter Eve. How's your week been going?
Well, you neglected to say that I came over to your house earlier today. That's and right. Just like in Shane, we started working on a stump in your front yard and getting it out, and also moving all the bricks that were around it to the side yard. So that's just the type of relationship people here at the cesspool have with one another. You know, we're not only colleagues in the fight, we're also friends and neighbors, and we do everything that we can to help one another. And that's the way that our people need to be generally. We need to have a sense of familial relationship with one another. We need to help one another. We need to do things for one another. You know, one thing that I have always been on is that I would like us to create charities to help white people. Quite frankly, most of the traditional white charities have been totally commandeered and co-opted by the left so that they now provide their help to everybody except white people. For example, where does a white kid go to get help going to college? Where does a white kid go to get help with, you know, going to private schools, since the public schools have been turned into the veritable black holes of Calcutta by liberals in America? Well, this is the type of help that I think we need to start studying, and studying hard, because quite frankly, unless we develop a sense of racial solidarity in the white community, we're doomed. We can't just go along like this. We're shrinking all the time, and we are rugged individualists when it comes to white people, but then white people are always at the forefront of helping non-whites. Like Winston Smith has said numerous times, at any moment of any day or night, there is some group of white people somewhere in the world wringing their hands, worried to death about how they can help non-whites and make their road easier in life. At the same time, anywhere in the world at the same time, there is absolutely no non-white group that is worried about how they can help white people. And he can say that with categorical certainty, because that's just the facts. And quite frankly, if we don't help ourselves, James, who's going to help us?
Nobody. You know, and so we have to help ourselves, and that, of course, is one of the great reasons the political cesspool has been so successful over the course of the last 8 years, because we serve here as a beacon to other European Americans to be proud of who they are, to embrace their cultural heritage, and we'll help lead the way in fostering a sense of identity and goodwill for our people. And I think that, more than anything, Keith, is what the political cesspool is here to do. As you commented a few minutes ago, I brought some interesting reading material into the studio this evening. I stopped to get gas on my way down, and we're going to try to work this in. I know we got a commercial break coming up, but I stopped to get gas on my way to the studio tonight. And as our local listeners would know, at any gas station in the metropolitan Memphis area, you will see a weekly newspaper for $1. And the title of the newspaper is Just Busted. And all this newspaper is basically mugshots of people who have been arrested in Memphis over the course of the previous week. And lo and behold, you know, I'm surprised, Keith, that they allow a newspaper, a publication like Just Busted, to be published. Because why?
Because the vast majority of the people that have just been busted are non-white.
We're talking 90%+.
And, of course, this is not the type of politically incorrect news that the news media normally embraces. This is obviously some rogue pirate outfit that is trying to make a buck, and they're just reporting the facts, just like Jack Webb said in Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. But
don't,
it certainly
away
is not politically correct.
Guys,
well, we're
going
to get back to
right
that right after this commercial break. Stay tuned, everybody. James Edwards and Keith Alexander just getting things started tonight in the political cesspool. Stay tuned.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction,
What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience. What actually worked? As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, as we're just getting things kicked off this evening, the night before Easter, James Edwards, Keith Alexander in studio with you tonight for the Political Cesspool radio program. I want to remind you, another quick announcement, the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party is back at its normal location at cfcc.org, the Council of Conservative Citizens. Just go to our website, you can link right over into the chat room. Invite your friends to join us. And I say that because last week we had to host it at an alternate site because Kyle Rogers, our normal chat administrator, was out of town. Last week we had a couple of hundred people trying to get into the chat room, and they were not allowed because little did I know that the makeshift chat room for last week had a capacity limit. So the vast majority of the 200-plus people trying to get in were not able to get in. So if that frustrated you, I offer to you my apology. And I ask you to give us another chance by coming to our permanent home at cfcc.org, where they host the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party on our behalf. The Political Cesspool radio program works in partnership with the CFCC on a regular basis, and they host the chat for us. So come on over, cfcc.org. Sorry about last week. I know there were hundreds of people trying to get in. It's kind of gotten off to a slow start in the chat room tonight. The last couple of weeks, we actually had it at cfcc.org even. We were able to crash the servers with so many people. So, folks, it's a work in progress. Come on over to the chat. We'll see you there. cfcc.org. We're doing the best we can, sure. Anyway, Keith, talking about this newspaper that's published in the Memphis area, just busted a collection of mugshots from the previous week's arrests, and over 90% of the mugshots you see in here are black. You know, that really comes as no surprise if you know anything about crime statistics. But one thing they have here that was interesting to me, Keith, on page number 6, the headline reads, Memphis man arrested for the 223rd time. This man, since 1983, has been arrested 223 times for any number of various offenses. And they interviewed his family about this. And of course, with it being a minority family, they have a typical minority response to whose responsibility it is for this guy to clean up his act. And they said, you know, instead of arresting him, the government and the law enforcement officials need to pay for him to have mental health evaluation. They need to pay for his mental health care. So a man gets arrested 223 times. It's not his fault. It's the government's fault for not paying for him to have free mental health care.
Two things there, of course. First of all, no personal culpability. I'm not responsible. The devil made me do it, like Flip Wilson said back in the 60s with his character Geraldine. The devil apparently made this guy do it. He's not responsible. Secondly, who's going to fix it? Not him, not his family. No, the fixer has to be the government, the almighty government. Of course, without government, these people would be totally and absolutely lost. If it weren't for government employment, if it wasn't for government entitlements, they might have to work for a living like they had to in the old days. Of course, the old days were wretched days, the days of slavery, the days when black people actually had to work for a living. You know, this is the most incredible mindset. I don't know how they've gotten people in the black community totally hooked on the drug of government employment, government welfare, big government, but they've gone for it, hook, line, and sinker. I remember back when FDR, the father of the American welfare state, started the New Deal, which was the beginning of all of this big government in America, and you saw this proliferation of black boy babies being named Roosevelt. You don't see that anymore. You know, black boys were named Roosevelt, though. You look back at football players and whatnot back in the 50s and 60s, and you had this proliferation of boys named Roosevelt, and they were all black. That showed, that was when the worm turned. That's when the Democrats stopped being the Democrats of our grandfathers, the Democrat Party of rum, Romanism, and rebellion, as they said in, I think, the late 19th century, becoming the American Marxist Party. And meanwhile, the Republicans, who had been the party of Lincoln and freedom and the 14th Amendment and all of this, in other words, the liberal party, they basically morphed into the supposedly conservative party. But, you know, none of this, you know, it's just like it's scripted. It's just, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Of course, it's not the guy's fault. And, you know, while we're talking about this, we had another prime example of black-on-white crime, a femicide. A white woman, 5 months pregnant, was killed by her boyfriend, who was the father of the child she was bearing, in Tunica, Mississippi. She was from Collierville. Her name was Brandy Floyd. The father, unwed, of course, who killed her, was named Nathaniel Yates III, and we have seen his picture now in the local news, and what a surprise, he's a black man.
You'll see him in Just Busted next week.
Yeah, undoubtedly James says he'll be in Just Busted, but maybe not, because he was arrested in Tunica, Mississippi, not in Memphis. But, see, I think that it was Pat Buchanan that pointed out in one of his recent articles that if as far as femicide goes, a black woman a white woman that dates a black man is 12 times more likely to be murdered by her significant other than a white woman who dates a white man. Now, you know, if you want some, you know, practical evidence to that, you know, you can tell people about the dangers of this, that's probably the best statistic you could come up with. You know, it is absolute suicide to do that, James.
Well, it is, Keith, and we will continue to track this story, breaking news here in the Memphis area. And one more thing, you know, we are going to continue to provide coverage of the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story here during the first hour. Keith wasn't able to be with us last week at the last moment. Now, not that, I mean, the show certainly suffered as a result of his absence, but we did the best we could by bringing in Richard Spencer. You know, to fill Keith's shoes, we have to bring in not just Richard Spencer, but Kevin McDonald, too. It took both of them. But no, seriously, they did a great job last week in providing commentary for the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story. We're going to get into that, too, here as we continue to talk about crime, race, hypocrisy, politics here in 21st century America. But one thing here as we wrap up this segment, Keith, talking about the reading material I brought into the studio tonight, Just Busted being the newspaper. I also brought in a book. My wife got me this for Christmas, and it's just an incredible book. It's a book about trivia. It provides questions and answers pertaining to each of the countries and continents of the world. It's a geographical book. It has a little breakdown of each of the world's countries. And I love stuff like this. I mean, if I got put on Jeopardy,
I'd be a very rich man. But I've read through Europe, I've read through the Caribbean. Now I'm into the Asian countries, reading a little bit about them, and I'm learning about this Asian country named Bhutan. And Bhutan, if you're not familiar, it's to the east of Nepal, north of Bangladesh, south of China. What's that, Sam? Oh, I'm getting cues in from my producer here. I got to back away from the mic just a little bit. But Bhutan, well, that's where it's located. And apparently, this small country, it has a population of just 2.2 million there in South Asia. They were having a problem. In the 1980s, they were experiencing a great amount of immigration from their neighbors to the east, neighbors to the west, I should say, Nepal. A bunch of Nepalese citizens were coming over and moving to Bhutan. And so by 1980, Nepalese folks made up 50% of the population. So the government of Bhutan implemented a practice called Bhutanization, during which, under law, they required all of the immigrants from Nepal to learn the native language, to dress in native garb, and to practice and celebrate traditional cultures of Bhutan. You don't hear about that. And we're going to pick it up there, and then we're going to get into Trayvon. I want Keith to tackle that. Why don't we hear about the assimilation and this healthy practice implemented by Bhutan? I mean, certainly there's no campaign to demonize the citizens of Bhutan or the government of Bhutan, but when America does it, there is. We'll talk about that on the flip side. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, now we're starting to have a party. Now, Keith, the party is getting started at the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party hosted by our friends and partners at cfcc.org. People are starting to get in there. You know, it's such nice weather today. It's the night before Easter. The sun's staying out longer, especially here in the Mid-South. Just a glorious day in the upper 70s. Perfect weather. So I understand, you know, people are a little slow coming into the online chat room tonight. But they are getting there. And we want you to come and join them at cofcc.org, cofcc.org. Join the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party. As you listen to the show, engage in conversation with other fans of the program. And, you know, another perk of the chat room is that you can come in and you pick your username. And we want to give a shout-out to the person logged in as Keith Alexander Fan, one of Keith's many fans logged in tribute to you tonight, Keith. So we're excited about that.
Obviously, a person of great discrimination in taste, right? Exactly. Well, let me tell you, this is, you know, I got euchred out of doing my spot on Trayvon Martin last week. Unexpected house guest. It happens sometimes, and I apologize to everybody. But I'm going to take a swing at the pinata tonight, if that's okay.
Yeah. Keith, before you do that, and I want to set the stage for you. You know, Frankie Valli doesn't come out and just start singing. He has to be properly built up before he comes out. So I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to build up your Trayvon Martin coverage before we get to it. And we're going to spend the rest of the first hour doing that here shortly. The second hour, we got a lot to talk to you about. Reverend Ted Pike's going to be our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's leading the charge against ABC for their show, GCB. You all know what that's about on Sunday nights. Ted's going to let you know how you can join in the fight against ABC. In the third hour, we're going to do our tribute to the South. Of course, each third hour in Confederate History Month, which is April, we are going to be saluting the boys in gray. That's coming up in the third hour. Plus, we're going to read what I hope will be a touching tribute to Easter. We're going to share with you our thoughts about Easter coming up later in the show as well. But first, Keith, before we shift gears and get over into Trayvon Martin, I was talking about, before the break, the Bhutanization of Bhutan, the small, I bet most of the people, and as intelligent as our audience is, I certainly didn't know about Bhutan before I read about it in this book. They were suffering a crisis. Their culture and identity was being changed by all of the immigrants from Nepal. They passed a law enforced by the government and the legal structure there. They said, listen, if you're coming over here, you're going to speak our language, you're going to dress like us, you're going to act like us, you're going to assimilate to the fullest extent that you can. And I think that's a natural and healthy response that the government of Bhutan had in Southeast Asia. Why is it not so natural for America to do the same?
Well, when Bhutan does it, as they say, the silence is deafening. Which tells you that Bhutan is not a white country, because if a white country presumed to do this, we would be hearing alarm bells in the night. It would be terrible. It would be a manifestation of racism of the worst sort to do that. Of course, there's a incredible double standard here, which we're going to point out here at the Political Cesspool, if no other media outlet does. Why, for example, is Israel able to have the most closed border immigration policy of any nation on the face of the earth? No one except a Jew can immigrate to Israel. Meanwhile, Jews throughout the diaspora, that is, every place other than the state of Israel, are the leading proponents for open borders and unlimited immigration from, the poor and the more third world, the better for immigrants. Yeah, you know, they were the primary force behind the Immigration Act of 1965 in America. In fact, the congressional sponsor was none other than Emanuel Seller, who at the time in 1965 was one of the few Jewish members of the U.S. Congress. Now, you know, does anybody see an inconsistency here? Does anybody see the hypocrisy? We've got to stand up for ourselves. We've got to start naming and shaming the left. And the Trayvon Martin story, of course, is a perfect example of the vulnerability of the left. What happened in Trayvon's situation is it is a perfect example of Rahm Emanuel's famous quote from early in the Obama administration, never let a good crisis go to waste. Of course, the crisis involving Trayvon is totally manufactured. The problem for the left is that they're always looking for that Alabama Ku Klux Klan lynching that never seems to happen anymore. And as I'm going to point out a little bit later on, it never even happened back in the wonderful bad old days that the left likes to hark back to so nostalgically in movies like The Help or Mississippi Burning. We're going to tell you some of the truth about that. Gerald Martin knows about that. We had a nice conversation at the Ameren conference about it. But, you know, and likewise, the Civil War. We're going to talk about the causes, the real causes of the Civil War. Again, fable trumps fact in all of these stories. What happened with Trayvon, for example, is that you had a Hispanic man shoot a black man. But the Hispanic man who had been adopted by a Jewish man, that's why he has the name Zimmerman, his mother was Peruvian. He's a mestizo himself, and apparently a very good law-abiding citizen. He is portrayed as the evil, racist, snaggletooth, troglodyte, Klansman, hillbilly, white guy by the national media, and Trayvon is this little cute, cuddly Cosby kid, pictured as he was 5 years ago at age 12, rather than the gangbanger that he was on the eve of his death. And, of course, the real reason for all of this hullabaloo is coming to the surface now. They want to repeal all of these stand-your-ground self-defense laws because they have now learned that it really does give law-abiding citizens, i.e. most of the white people who are the victims of non-white crime, black crime in America primarily, and to a lesser extent Hispanic crime, it gives them a real advantage. They don't have to wait for somebody to break into their house, crawl in the window, and threaten them with a firearm now. They can actually, if they're out on the street and some street thug threatens them, they can fire and they can win. And this, of course, is a totally intolerable situation for the left because they think that the criminal class does a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society, and they don't want criminals impeded in their historic proletariat-style role for the leftist takeover of America. So consequently, you know, it's no accident that after black rights, the next big initiative of the liberal Earl Warren Supreme Court in the 1950s was what? Criminal rights. Gideon versus Wainwright, Escobedo versus Arizona, Miranda versus Arizona. All of these laws that were passed undemocratically by decree by an unelected Supreme Court to make it more difficult to apprehend and successfully prosecute criminals. The left is at it again. That's what the Trayvon Martin story is all about. And it's also supposed to whip up all this black angst and anger so that black people will show up at the polls in record numbers like they did in 2008, and they think hopefully reelect Obama. The problem is black people are only 12.8% of the U.S. population. 95% of them voted for Obama the last time. They're not going to be able to do it. The key for the Republicans winning, and you know, I'm not holding out any great hopes that we're going to have a wonderful advocate for white people running as the Republican standard bearer, but the secret, as Pat Buchanan says time and time again, is not outreach to minorities. That pisses off your natural base for the Republican Party, the white population, and it doesn't get you a teacup of minority votes, either Hispanic or blacks. You know, I guarantee you're not going to get even 4% of the black population voting for the white candidate. I don't care if Jesus Christ came back to earth and ran as a Republican for president. On the other hand, what it is going to do, you know, InReach, as Pat Buchanan said, trying to speak to white concerns and to make themselves either implicitly or explicitly the party of whites, is the key to victory. If they can get the white vote up from, let's say, 54% to 58% or 60%, 64% of the white population, they're going to roll like Sherman's army rolled through Georgia. That's the key to victory. And this is the key to the Republican Party. As Pat Buchanan has said, either the Republican Party is going to take care of illegal immigration, or it's going to end illegal immigration, or else illegal immigration is going to end the Republican Party.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Keith Alexander's scintillating coverage of the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story. Right after this, second and third hour forthcoming, we've got a lot coming your way. Stay tuned.
We gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
As the late Sam Cooke once said, we're twisting the night away here. We're having a party in the Political Cesspool radio program here in the studio and in the online chat room as well, where people, fans from all around the world, are congregating. Join us. Be one of them. CFCC.org. I am, as I speak, typing with different folks in there and having a good time reading their comments. All right, Keith, we're going to wrap up quickly our coverage on the Trayvon Martin story. You know, we've been covering it at great length the last 2 weeks, and it's beginning, I guess, as far as our involvement in the story, is beginning to simmer down a little bit. I actually had a collection of several more articles pertaining to the Trayvon Martin story that I was going to post to the website this week, but Jared Taylor came out with a presentation, a video presentation below, that is so comprehensive that he really summed up everything, as far as I was concerned, in one magnificent accounting of the facts. So if you want to see this great video, it's entitled The Trayvon Shooting, Fact versus Fantasy. We have it at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, and it features our good friend and yours, Jared Taylor. I do want to get in, though, quickly, this one thing, Keith, before I turn it back over to you, if and when I can find it, about the Black Panthers. Basically, the Black Panthers, who have been down there with the other race hustlers, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, et cetera, and in Sanford, Florida, correct, where Trayvon was shot, and they've been gobbling up, sucking up all the free news coverage that they can find, and one of the so-called leaders of the Black Panther Party was on CNN with Anderson Cooper a couple of days ago. And this is what he said, and on live television, no less. Now, I ask you, what would happen if a spokesman like myself or you, Keith, for white interests, had gotten on national television and said something like this? They said that he said that George Zimmerman has been charged with murder according to street law. And this guy, the spokesman for the Black Panthers, said that street law is what they operate under. And he's talking to Anderson Cooper, and he says, we don't believe in American law. We don't follow American law. American law does not protect us, is what he said to Anderson Cooper. He says, I'm not a citizen of America, therefore I have no right to respect American law. And basically he just said that the laws be damned. They're going to go out, and if they find George Zimmerman, they're going to kill him because he's been found guilty in street law. And so, Keith, here's my final thought on this. For nearly a half century, at least for a half century, the American government has pandered to blacks by giving them benefits such as welfare, food stamps, quota set-asides, affirmative action, you name it, that they didn't earn or deserve. Still, some blacks, like this fella, claim that despite all that, they are still not citizens. And as this video proves, and we have the video as well as the transcript at thepoliticalcesspool.org, as it proves, it doesn't look like this program is working in terms of bringing these minorities into the fabric of American society to the extent that they can be. Like spoiled children, they have become even more resentful of this country. Maybe another 50 years of anti-white discrimination will do the trick.
No, they've learned that they've got a free ATM card that keeps giving them cash. Why would they turn it in? They now know that all they have to do is holler racism and act more and more outraged and inconsolable, and they'll get more and more tribute, more and more goodies, more and more benefits given to them by the guilty white liberal segment that seems to be running America, the news media, the entertainment media, and, of course, last but not least, the government. You know, the thing with the Trayvon thing is metastasized now, and we're basically seeing what the left really has in mind. And what they have in mind is rolling back these stand your ground laws. They don't want white people to be able to defend themselves against black criminality. That's the end of it, end of story. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Civil War while we still got a few minutes. Just like Trayvon, the left lives on myths. You know, just like I said in Trayvon, they're looking for that Alabama Ku Klux Klan lynching that never seems to happen anymore. And since it doesn't happen anymore, they have to improvise and try to play with the facts so that now a Hispanic man is the white devil. And he is, you know, probably from Alabama and a Ku Klux Klan member to boot. In their eyes and in the news reporting of it. And it's just, you know what, that's what they did with the Civil War. Why do we always hear that slavery was the cause of the Civil War? I can guarantee you, I will stake my life on it, that most antebellum white people, most antebellum Americans, didn't care two hoots in hell about going to war, putting their sons and their fathers and their grandfathers in harm's way to catch bullets for the purpose of freeing black slaves in America back in 1861. Why then do we keep hearing that slavery was a great cause of the Civil War? You have to remember, it was the South that seceded from the Union. And if the South was vitally interested in preserving slavery, all they had to do was jump on board the ready-made life raft that was provided to them by President Lincoln and before him President Buchanan in the form of what was called the Corwin Amendment. The Corwin Amendment would have been the original 13th Amendment to the Constitution, and it said that slavery would remain inviolate at law in all places where it was then legal, which would have been the border states and the states of the Confederacy. If all that the South wanted to do was preserve slavery, that would have done it. But of course, that wasn't what the Civil War was about, and consequently, the South seceded nonetheless. The reason slavery has to be the reason for the Civil War is that it is the only reason that casts Lincoln and the North in a good light. If you start talking about the tariff controversy, if you start talking about the Corn Amendment, if you start talking about the Morrell Tariff, if you start talking about internal improvements and all the real causes of the Civil War, the South comes out looking like the what they really were, the defenders of the original understanding of what the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. Federal Republic was supposed to be about. Instead, they can't allow that to happen. You know, there's all this folklore about why America went to war, and Pat Buchanan makes a wonderful march through history in his new book, Suicide of a Superpower, and shows you that none of the folklore you heard about why America, for example, fought the Revolutionary War, fought the War of 1812, fought the Texas War for Independence, fought the Mexican War, fought the Civil War, fought the Spanish-American War, got involved in World War I, got involved in World War II, got involved in Korea. He goes through all of that and debunks all of the myths about why America went to war, all the myths that the left has promulgated to show that America was just about freedom and that we have been fighting selflessly for freedom from day one of our nationhood. All that is a bunch of malarkey, and Pat Buchanan does a wonderful job in his book, and rather than trying to go over it here in the few minutes we have remaining, I'm going to refer you to that book. Now, another great fable is about the Memphis Sanitation Workers' Strike. There is an article in the Daily News, Wednesday, April 4th edition in Memphis, this is the legal newspaper, about a guy named Louis Donaldson, who was kind of a liberal Republican guy that was on the original Memphis City Council when Mayor Henry Loeb fought against the unionization of the sanitation workers. And now, we've been accused many times of anti-Semitism on this show, and I can tell you that there is one Jewish leader that I have nothing but unstinting praise for, and that was former Mayor Henry Loeb of Memphis, God rest his soul. Henry Loeb was the type of Jew that I wish we could have unleashed on the national scene politically. He was a Jewish man with an Ivy League education. He went to Brown University, but he stood 6'5", and he looked and sounded like John Wayne. He was married to an Episcopalian, and he quit going to the Jewish Temple Israel because Rabbi Wax kept haranguing him from the pulpit about how he, every Sabbath, about what he ought to do in the garbage workers' strike. He told us at St. John's Episcopal Church, where I attended as a kid, that Rabbi Wax believed in the separation of church and state, just not the separation of synagogue and state. And to his mind, when he gave a presentation to the adult education class, he said it was about the sanitation worker strike was not a black-white issue, it was a labor management issue. And lo and behold, Louis Donaldson, in his new autobiography that's come out, agrees that's what it was all about. It was, again, the left putting this false spin on it, trying to turn it into the hateful, bigoted, racist, closet Ku Klux Klan member, Mayor Henry Loeb, who wanted to beat down poor, innocent, long-suffering black people, you know, and of course they tell you about these two black guys that happened to be trying to goof off and get out of the rain and got into the hopper part of one of these garbage trucks and got crushed, like that was intended. Henry Loeb or something plotted that or something. You know, what in the world that had to do with the garbage workers' strike is a mystery to me to this day. But nonetheless, that's the images that you get. The left keeps creating these fables, just like they did involving almost every big civil rights event that they pointed to, like Mississippi burning murders. We'll get into all of this later on, maybe next week when I come back. But let me tell you, what has happened in involving you know, all of these stories is nothing but fable. You cannot trust anything that you hear from the mainstream media.
Folks, that's Keith Alexander's contribution to the show tonight. Two more hours still forthcoming. I'm bringing them to you right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned and join us in the online chat, cfcc.org.
Religion, others thought he had a demon in heart, thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.